to Healing for Your Heart. Healing for Your Heart is a daily radio program brought to you by Amelia Kenya. God wants to dwell with you, to love, to guide, to protect, and to provide for your daily needs. God's design is for you to enjoy His presence. Healing for Your Heart is possible today. Here is your author and speaker, Amelia Kenya.
How do you live in perilous times? How do you deal with challenging situations? How are you going to handle the many challenges and what seems like troubles that surround us in our present century and in our age today? Today we are looking at dealing with perilous times. Specifically, how do you live in perilous times? How do you handle days of spiritual darkness? As I have thought about this lesson, I've wondered, what would God tell us if we were to ask Him, how do we live in tough times? How do we handle our perilous times? Or how do we handle difficult times that surround us in this century? You know, as I've thought about it, I've gone back to tell myself, I think God has a good sense of humor and a very high sense of humor. So this is what I think God would tell us if we were to ask Him very specifically that question. I think God will look at us and recite or tell us again the words that He has given us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. He will put us right there in His arms. He will rock us. And then He will look at us gently, calmly, patting us, and He will tell us, you know what, son? You know what, my child? No temptation has taken you, but such that is common to man. And then He'll proceed to tenderly squeeze us unto Himself and tell us, but I am faithful. I am not going to let you suffer beyond what you are tempted. And beside that, I am here with you. In every temptation that you face, I will not leave you there alone, but I will make a way for you to escape so that you can bear it. Why am I saying that? And why do I think God will tell us that? It's because I really believe that there is no generation that has been exempt from perilous times. Every generation from the time of creation has gone through their own share of difficult times. And two, there is no single Christian who does not face tough times or dangerous times, dangerous enough to take them under. Every Christian goes through that. In fact, number three, we are living in this century by God's design. You who is listening today, you who is participating today, you who is here today, you are living in this century because God has wielded you, God has molded you, God has created you to effectively weather the storms of this perilous age. He has made you in a way that you are just the right person. You are strong enough to live for Him. Perilous times have always existed. It's true. In fact, the Old Testament believers, they also lived through their own share of perilous times. If you look at the scriptures, you're going to find evidence of tough times that have been in the world. You turn to Genesis chapter 19, and we shall be looking at this scripture. So turn over there as I give just a brief account on it. You look at Genesis chapter 19, and God gives us a very sad account of perilous times. These are the times when Lot was alive. You know, earlier on in Genesis chapter 18, you're going to also see that God had appeared to Abraham at a place called Mamre. And Abraham at that time was found sitting outside his tent door. Abraham observed and saw three men who stood by. And Abraham, being a righteous man as he was, he quickly realized and recognized that these were not just ordinary men. So Abraham fell down on the ground, he worshipped, and then he prepared. He proceeded to prepare a quick meal for those men. These are also the three visitors who had proclaimed that Sarah, who was barren, Abraham was also without child. We know that they were way beyond their childbearing ages. They pronounced or proclaimed that they were going to have a son. It was also through this same account that God disclosed to Abraham that the wickedness and the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was so grave, it was so bad, that God decried it. Those same men, calling the men in quotes, they had visited Abraham. They had also proceeded to Sodom and Gomorrah. But Abraham remained to plead with God to spare the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah if 10 righteous men were found in them. So then when you move now to the scripture we are about to look at in Genesis chapter 19, though you see two angels coming to Sodom in the evening, and we also find Lot is sitting in the gate. And note that all along, that these were not ordinary men. This was what we call a theophany. That is a physical manifestation of God to mankind. So like Abraham, Lot also sensed the presence of God. Lot looked around and saw that, oh, the incarnate God is here with us. So he arose, the Bible says, he welcomed those visitors to his house. Like Abraham, he also prepared a meal for them. And at that time, Lot succeeded, because they had visited in the evening. Lot succeeded in persuading the angels to spend the night in his house. And while in Lot's house, what transpired that night is a very clear picture of perilous times to which we can relate to today. A picture of tough times that Old Testament saints went through, just the way we are going through some tough times today in our century. So let us follow that account keenly as we read. Today we shall do more reading of the Word of God, and God's Word has the power to explain itself. God's words are more powerful, incomparable to anything that a man can say. So I pray that the Holy Spirit would use these words to reach to us, to minister, to draw us back to God, and help us to live in our perilous times. So much reading today, but stay with it. Let the Holy Spirit use it to enrich us today. So we are going to look at Genesis chapter 19, and let us read together verse 4 until verse 11. The Bible says, "But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house around, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they said unto Lot, and they called unto Lot, and said unto him, Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now, I have two daughters which have not known a man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fella came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed so upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. A clear account of what happened. Men who demanded that they know the godly men, angels whom God had sent to declare judgment to Sodom and Gomorrah. In fact, the Lord must have confirmed what he had told Abraham himself in Genesis chapter 18, verse 20 to 22, when he said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and I will know, and if not, I will know. You know, after the angel had helped Lot get back into the house, and after he had blocked the men who wanted to get in to know them physically, the angel left Lot with a warning that can be resounded throughout the generations. That is a warning that can be resounded anywhere that sin is rampant and where the presence of God has been subdued. This is what the angel told Lot. In Genesis chapter 19, the Bible records, the angel said this, "For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord." God doesn't tolerate sin. So we have established that there is no generation which has not faced which has not faced difficult times, which are constantly referred to as perilous times. Every rising generation from the creation up to date has faced its pressing effects of sin. Those same effects of sin push God out of societies. The pressing effects of sin lead us into lawlessness. In fact, the prophet Jeremiah, as I think about it, was very right. He summed it perfectly right in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9 when he said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" So those who lived in the Old Testament era had a full share of their frightful days, just like we also have our own share of frightful days in the New Testament era. But just as God revealed himself to Abraham and to Lot, that particular time when they were surrounded with evil in their days, so has God revealed himself to every man in our day. There is no man who is living today who is not surrounded or who is not confronted with the evidence of God every single day. That is because every man is created in the image of God. Man has the manifest presence of God within him. And this manifest presence of God within man constantly testifies of God through their life conscience. Why would it be through a life conscience? And why would every man experience this and no man be exempt? The answer can be found in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Man breathes the very breath of life, breathed into him by God. And that is the breath that made man a living soul, according to that scripture. When God formed man, we were without any life. He breathed into Adam, and that is when he became a living soul. And that is exactly what we do today. That is how we walk. That is how we function. Breathing the very breath of life of God. Meaning, He resides within. His evidence, his manifold presence resides, manifests itself within man. So God uses creation not to only reveal himself, but to also reveal the Godhead and to reveal his eternal presence and his eternal power in man. So man has a choice. He can either choose to believe or he can choose not to believe. You see, God never forces himself on anybody. But as much as he does not force himself on any man, he makes us know that our choices have consequences. So the Old Testament brethren or saints or Christians faced perilous times. We in the New Testament era also face perilous times. And the perilous times we are facing today are no different from what faced Lot shortly after creation. When you take time to read God's record in Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to 32, you are going to find that what happened in the Old Testament era is exactly what is happening in our New Testament era. We are going to look at this scripture. Turn to Romans chapter 1, and we shall read from verse 18 to 32. As we read, I would like you to take note of certain elements that the scripture describes or the scripture gives that can help you see our society right there. You find our own society described within those terms that are used in the scripture language. So turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 18 to 32, and let us read that together as we listen to what God has to say to us today. The Bible says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that we are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Look at what follows. "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to the corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts and creeping things." Then look at what God does thereafter in the next scripture. "Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lusts of their own hearts to do what?" Look at what follows. "To dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Then look at again what God continues to do when perilous times increase. "For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient." look at some of the things that God is referring to here. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. My pastor usually makes fun and tells us, do not throw stones at the mailman. When you make bills or when you use facilities and bills come to you, the mailman only delivers it. You never run after your mailman to say, look, I did not use this much power. Why is my bill very high? Why should I pay for this? I did not do this and this, or this service is unfair. He is only a mailman delivering the goods. And that is what I am. God's mailman right here. Just reading his word, I did not write it, but that is what God is describing, mirroring our times today. So what do we learn from this account? We can learn several points or several facts we can glean from here to help us as we go through perilous times. When a person and when a family, when a community or a nation turns its back against God, you can be sure that very predictable consequences are going to follow according to the principles of the Word of God. A pastor does not have to stand to declare the consequences. The Word of God, as we have read together from Romans chapter 1, enumerates that, enlightens us that about that. Consequences follow. So what are we learning here? What happens when we depart from God, we walk away from his presence and succumb to the times? One, look at what God does according to the same scripture, Romans chapter 1 from verse 18. Man's thinking becomes futile and his thoughts are darkened. God has the ability to give you thoughts that are corruptible, to push you to what you really want to do. He has the ability to let you live in the darkness of your own desires. Man's thinking becomes futile and foolish hearts are darkened. Number two, when man exchanges the glory of the immortal God for images that are made to the likeness of a human being, images that are made to the likeness of birds and animals, God grants such wishes and he gives them up to their sinful desires. Those are God's principles. Number three, we can also see from that scripture that when sexual impurity perverts a heart, what follows is usually a degradation of bodies one with another. And number four, shameful and inflaming lusts usually prevail as people turn away from the natural sexual relations to pursue unnatural ones, according to the word that God has given us here. And number five, God gives man a depraved mind so that man actually takes on lower animal instincts. low animal instincts so that he actually does what shouldn't be done. This is what leads to unimaginable evil. This is what leads to unimaginable wickedness. Things you hear about and you want to dash and hide under the ground. And last, from the principles we are drawing from this scripture, God punishes sin. God gives man its due recompense, meaning he doesn't give lightly over there, but he punishes sin according to the way we commit it. I would like us to look at one more scripture here before we close. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. The book of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. The Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." God does not want you to continue on a road of destruction. God created you in his own image to put his arms round about you and for you to walk through life blessed, to walk through life fulfilled, to walk through life fulfilling eternal purposes. But let me ask you today, for what is your heart searching? As we have gone through this scripture, can you identify with what is going on in perilous times? Are you violating your own conscience? Are you overstepping boundaries in search for something better? Are you walking towards God, or are you slowly drifting away from him? You know, your choices have a lasting bearing on your life. When your heart begins to look for reasons to act in opposition to God's teaching, beware. There is an enemy who is prowling. There is an enemy who has a hook, and on that hook is a bait. He wants you to swallow it. He wants you to bite on it. But today, stop. I want to urge you with all grace, with all humility, with all mercy that I can think of, please stop. Just go back and call on God. Get back under God's love. You do not want to go through the consequences of sin.
Thank you for tuning into Healing for Your Heart. You can contact Amelia Kenya through her website, ameliakenya.com. That's AMILIAHKENYA.com. There, you will also find spiritual resources through her following books: Prayer and Spiritual Warfare, Spiritual Victory for the 21st Century, Back to God for Healing, The Power of a Woman, and God's Presence, The Missing Something.